Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Eric and I talked about this briefly.
Okay.
I wanted to know what you thought of it.
Should an unaccommodated test taker write an LSAT addendum? Something like, I took the LSAT with the standard time limit of 35 minutes per section. Okay, interesting. So to put this in context here, some people are taking the test with 53 minutes or 70 minutes. They're getting a boost to their score. But because that's not reported to the law schools have no idea that that person got a benefit. And what some regular test takers may be wondering is, hey, how do I telegraph that I've actually got the score I got without this help?
I thought it was worthy of throwing on the agenda. I mean, to make the case that you should do it. Since 2014, it has been, it seems, far easier for students to get accommodations. Since 2020, there has been an explosion in scores above 170. The scores over 175 have more than doubled since 2020. Scores over 170 are up by 50% or more since 2020. We don't really know why scores have gone up so much since 2020, but we suspect that accommodations very likely could be part of it because we hear about accommodations more and more and more from our students all the time.
Yeah.
We have no idea what percentage of people are actually getting accommodated these days. Last time LSAC produced a report was what, 2017? And at that point, it was less than 10% of all test takers were getting extra time accommodations. But we don't know what that number looks like in 2024. We would be very interested in knowing how many people are now getting accommodated.
Yeah.
In my conversation that I had yesterday with Maya Russell, the chair of the National Pre-Law Association National Council, Plank.
Yeah, yep.
We did talk about how students shouldn't out themselves as accommodated.
Yeah.
Because they sometimes do, right? Maya was very clear that when she's going over personal statement, if a personal statement mentions learning disabilities at all, she's just like, no, this does not belong in your personal statement. It's a clear, she wants the personal statement to be nothing but positives, nothing that could even be interpreted negatively. Focus on your strengths.
Yeah.
And accommodations or ADD or whatever is not a strength. Focus on what you have done really well. Also, be very careful. She went so far as to say that she would not let a student include it in any of their application materials. Or, you know, let. It's their application. So she was clear that they do what they want to do. But if they're sure. asking her for her advice,
yeah,
she would always tell them that unless this is strictly necessary to your application, we want you to leave it out.
Leave it out. Yeah.
Like, don't say anything about accommodations or anything that might even make the reader suspect that you got accommodations.
You know, it's interesting, though, too, because at the end of the day, do the schools care? They still get their 172.
Sure. Maybe they don't care at all. And well-meaning people who want to be, you know, they want to be fair-minded. They don't want to discriminate against people.
Yeah.
They're gonna want that 170 to be real. That said, at other schools, they're gonna have too many 170 applicants.
They are. And they're going to prefer a non-accommodated 172 to a accommodated 172.
Right.
It's just
like, is it better if you got a 170 in 35 minutes versus if you got a 170 in 53 minutes or 70 minutes?
Yeah.
Are law schools going to see that and go, well, the 35 minutes is probably preferable? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If they have the luxury to choose, they will choose.
And they do at the top schools. They do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to be on the bubble. At some schools that you apply to, those schools are going to be stretches for you. And they're a stretch for you because your LSAT isn't quite good enough.
Yeah.
Or your LSAT GPA combo aren't quite good enough. And so at that school, if you tipped your hand and said, well, yeah, I mean, I only got a 162, but it was the best I could do. And yeah, I did get accommodations to get that 162. Now they're like, wait a second, we've got this 162 and this other 162, and we can only admit one of you.
Yeah.
Now they have a reason to prefer the one that didn't get extra time. So yeah, it's pretty clear that unless it's strictly necessary to your application, you should never tip your hand to say, I was accommodated. For example, when they ask you, why did your score improve? Like, it, please explain if your score improved by 10 points between testing.
They want, they're fishing, right? They want you to say, well, they actually, I got accommodated. And then they're like,
and we've seen people who want to do that. We've seen people who are like, oh, well, this is clearly, oh yeah, it's just because I didn't get my necessary accommodations for the first one.
Yeah. They don't understand what they're walking into.
There's a legal decision, you know, well, it's the Americans with Disabilities Act, I guess. And then the decision under the Americans with Disabilities Act that made it so that LSAC can no longer put that asterisk on your record, but then you can sure accidentally put the asterisk right back on your record by disclosing that you were accommodated. Yeah. Anyway, this got Eric and I to thinking, it was Eric's idea, should unaccommodated test takers say, and he provides one sentence, I took the LSAT with the standard time limit of 35 minutes per section, period.
Okay, so there's the question of, should we add this? Then the second question is this how it should be worded? I do have one concern. Any guess?
They could read it and think that you had other accommodations that weren't related to time.
Exactly. Like, so the problem was
no time accommodations.
Yeah.
No accommodations whatsoever.
Yeah, I took the LSAT without any accommodations.
Without extra time or any accommodations.
Yeah, without extra time or any accommodations, using the standard 35-minute time frame or something. If you
we
want
can
to
workshop
emphasize
the
that.
Exact language, but yeah, I agree with you that they could interpret, they could read that and go, oh, so you didn't have extra time, but did you have start and stop?
Yeah. Well, part of the reason, right, is because no one says this. So if you're coming out and saying it, it's like, why the fuck are you telling me this? You saying this because you think I know you got accommodations elsewhere and you want to make sure that you know I got 35 minutes. So just got to clarify that. Other than that, what does that do? Well, you never know. Could help you. You could be between two people and they don't know whether the other person got accommodated or not, but they know you didn't.
Yeah. I followed up this morning. I emailed Maya and she was on it. She responded 12 minutes later.
Wow.
She said, the student could absolutely ask this directly to law schools in Q&A sessions for current cycle applicants. Because like all questions, the schools often answer very differently.
Hmm.
So that's kind of an interesting one. I wonder whether the schools, I bet that they would be real cagey if you asked them.
Yeah. Do they want to say what they're actually thinking or just say, okay.
Maybe if you got to ask them in private, you know, you're sitting across the desk with somebody.
Especially if you're talking, right? Email, they got time to think
Not
about
email.
How they're going to respond. No, no.
This well, is and like, it's just they're responding in writing.
Yeah.
But if you are asking them, you know, friend to friend or on the phone or whatever.
Yeah.
It seems like their tongue might be a little looser and they might say, oh yeah, actually.
That would be helpful.
That'd be great.
Thanks.
We'd love to know that. but Maya continues. Okay. So beyond ask and see what the schools say, she says that my advice would be no. The law schools are dealing with a very high volume of materials this cycle and are doing their best to complete file review, and an addendum that highlights that you did not receive accommodations that are protected by law seems odd. It could also hit some schools the wrong way.
I could see
unless
that.
I heard from a school directly that this is something they wanted, then no, I would not add more materials for schools to read, which was an interesting twist on it, where it was like, hey, you're just going to be bothering these people, bogging them down with one more addendum to read. Now, I think we all can agree that you don't need to write half a page or a paragraph.
Absolutely.
Or even more than just a sentence or two.
Yep.
But I would push back maybe a little bit, because how much more are you actually giving them to read if you only provide a one sentence addendum?
It's the most challenging for the first group of people who do it, right? Because it's going to give those people, it doesn't matter how short it is. They're going to be like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. Wait, you wouldn't, I don't think you'd want to be on the vanguard of this because it could look like you are a dick. It could look like you want to discriminate against people who, you know, I could see some readers being like, hey, these are protected accommodations, widely accepted. Why are you trying to get us to discriminate against people?
Yeah, it could backfire.
Anyway, I'm glad we had this episode on it because I found it to be a very interesting little tidbit to discuss.
Cool.
Should we wrap it up there?
Yeah. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.